We're talking Doozy Howser MD. Hit it. It was 1989. The Cold War ended as a result of the Malta Conference. Lexus was introduced. Marty and Doc went to the future. And Neil Patrick Harris was a 14-year-old doctor trying to also be a normal teenage boy. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me are some very special guests. You'll know them as the hosts of the Bodacious Yuletide TV podcast, Chris, Brian, and John. Guys, how's it going?
Doing great, Jerry. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's very rad.
Well, thanks for coming on. I'm still kind of a newbie in the podcast world. So, whenever I get a chance to have more seasoned guys come on, I always welcome it. So, again, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you bet. We're only a year old, so we're still pretty fresh, and always great to engage with another Christmas podcaster.
I definitely enjoy your guys' style. I like just, the way you banter with each other and just kind of rag on each other sometimes. I mean, it's fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're old college buddies, so we kind of slip into that cadence when we get together, and so we have a good amount of fun poking fun at each other.
We sure do try. Now, John, would you speak? We're on a show. Be nice, John. Come on.
So, guys, what's your general thoughts on Doogie Howser, or like your memories or anything about Doogie Howser in general?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I think for us at least is that Doogie Howser was a little bit before our time. I was born in 89, so which is I think the year that
the year that it came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So but, we covered an episode of How I Met Your Mother last year on our podcast, so we definitely have some NPH familiarity and know right. This was really how he got his start. So it was definitely fun to go back and take a look at something I did not have a lot of familiarity with.
I gotcha. What about y'all?
Yeah, I know about as much as Doogie Howser as I do the Chicago Bears lineup this season. just a big, fat total of nothing. Other than Neil Patrick Harris, of course.
I only know Doogie Howser from I Love the 90s on VH1 when I was a small child. So I know it only secondhand through a different canceled show.
Okay. I actually
remember. Wait, was Doogie Howser canceled?
It was canceled, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, it's still running. It's still running.
Shut up, yeah. John. Yeah. It could have had a tasteful ending where, Doogie went and broke bad, and now he's got a mustache and practicing. I don't know. I got nothing.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because they actually were going to do a whole thing where it was going to be a year long season where he just gets so disaffected by the whole medical profession, and he quits and becomes a writer, but they ended up being canceled. So it kind of ends where he resigns and goes to Europe or something like that. And I mean, it was weird. And I remember watching Doogie Howser because I really liked it. Funnily enough, I wasn't allowed to watch Married with Children, but for some reason I could watch Doogie Howser with a lot more appropriate things, I think. But, I remember watching it. I thought it was so cool because he was a doctor and he had money, and, all his friends were just, they're in high school and broke and all that, whatever. And so I was I mean, I thought he was pretty rad, and well, I guess not, because the show got canceled.
What I personally really enjoyed about the show is how Neil Patrick Harris's essence has really not changed at all. He's certainly, become more comfortable, with everything, but it's just the same old Neil Patrick in a smaller format.
Yeah. It was strange to see him with the baby face, you know, after all those years of watching How I Met Your Mother. I mean, it was a little off-putting at first, and then I kind of got used to it. And it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
He's young. This was an odd special because I'm trying to like remember things about Doogie Howser. And the only thing I really remember was that, you know, he would write in his computer. That was like what I remembered most, you know, it was like his computer journal or whatever. And I was trying to place it. It's not really a comedy. It's not really like a drama or procedural or anything like that. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of a dramedy. I don't even really know like what genre it fits into, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting when we were watching the show. For some reason, I had it in my mind that this was a 45-minute, like closer to an hour-long drama type show. And to see that it was only like more of a sitcom format, but it's not really a sitcom. It falls in a really weird place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully thought it was going to be like very much like a Full House style sitcom. That was like, I was expecting a lot of yucks. And then they were like using like accurate medical terming. And I'm like, this is weird for a format with a 14-year-old on it, but all right.
Yeah. There was a lot of medical jargon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, I mean,
in a weird way, it kind of felt like a precursor to both Scrubs and ER.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, those like real bad vampire movies or whatever, where like, you know, the old guy has a son and one becomes a vampire and one becomes a werewolf and he's got the blood of both or whatever. It kind of like reminds me of that, you know, where it goes in the different directions. It's like the underworld or whatever. I don't know.
That's a great tagline for that. For the show.
Doogie Howser.
They would have had that. They would still be on. Brian's dreams would come true. Doogie Howser, the underworld of 80s medical shows.
Of 80s medical shows. Love it.
Twilight, Doogie Howser. He works all night, so his skin's pale and shiny.
Oh, man. I think that's the next book that's coming out, right? Something like that.
I'm pretty sure that she got re-inspired by it, for sure. She saw some Doog and she was about it.
Some Doog. Oh man, I did remember Vinny though. Vinny was something else.
Well, ooh, Vinny. Vinny was something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey Doog. It's so funny. He's got like this crazy, like thick, you know, like New York accent. Yeah. But I mean, they're not in New York, right? It's like some, I mean,
LA.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it is LA. Everybody else around them looks like they're in LA. They've got that long surfer hair, you know, they just kind of have that like absent-minded look in their eye. It's very, very LA.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so strange
to have this
New York guy just, you know, thrown in the mix. I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh no, we were like kind of talking about it before we jumped on the Zoom call, and we're like, why is was this just a time when being from New Jersey was the like epoch of coolness? Cause there's like at the beginning when they're like spreading up the gingerbread, there's just like a girl with like the thickest, like Philly side of New Jersey accent. And then she's like, I got to get some water.
Someone saw Karate Kid.
That's what I was thinking. Cobra Kai is big now. They went back, they saw Karate Kid.
Someone saw Karate Kid and thought, what if we made Ralph Macchio a supporting character that knew nothing about karate?
but kind of pervy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ralph Macchio is kind of pervy in Karate Kid. Your Mother? Is he in How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, he's made a guest appearance or two, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had that whole side arc where Neil Patrick thought that Cobra Kai was the good guy and Ralph Macchio was the bad guy.
Right. John is the Karate Kid. Yeah. Love it. Oh, man. Yeah, but this episode was just, it was strange. So it starts off and he's in the ER, right? Because it turns out he's actually an ER doctor. Like there's a whole backstory that I didn't remember at all about him, like surviving leukemia like twice. And so then it's because of that he like, you know, goes into the medical profession at all. And then of course he's just like a prodigy and, you know, a super genius. And he has like a photographic memory and all that stuff. And I mean, I knew he was smart, but I didn't remember like any of that whole thing. And, you know, I was doing some research for it, reading it, and I thought, okay, so how's this going to play into it? And I mean, you don't really get a sense of that in this, you know, this particular episode, but I mean, it's just, it's something that I don't remember at all being a part of his mythos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't really get a sense for that too much. And the thing that kind of surprised me while watching this is like, like everyone seems very, very okay with him being a child doctor. Like every patient that comes in, nobody has any questions or confused looks. Like this is only the, 12th or 13th episode of the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, wow, like after the pilot, they must have just been like, well, we're really just going to be concerned about like, is he going to go to the party or is he going to save people's lives?
Yeah, for sure. It's I mean, if I saw a doctor that young, I'd be like, okay, where's the real doctor? You know? And no, it's like, yeah, no big deal. He's Dr. Hauser, whatever.
Get lost, kid. Concern is he has a credit card.
there's a whole bit too.
Yeah, to your point earlier about having, you know, thinking it's cool that he had the money, Vinny also thought it was very cool that he had money and a credit card. Yeah. There was
I was thinking about like how the heck did a kid like that get a credit card, and I was like, oh yeah, he's making salary at 14.
yeah it's like
by the
like,
time he hits 25.
Yeah, and he's like an ER doctor. So, you know, he's making like bank, you know? I mean, he's really rolling in it. And so I know later on, I think in like the later seasons, he actually moves out and gets his own apartment. But I mean, why not? You know, he's already got a job and he's got a salary and he's got his degree. So who cares?
He went to Princeton, man.
I really like the news headline in the intro sequence, wrapping everything up. Doctor can't buy beer but can write prescriptions. Like, yeah. That's really problematic, isn't it? Like, ethically, isn't that, shouldn't we be keeping a closer eye on this, maybe adding one more layer of, you know, checks and balances before we let a 14-year-old write prescriptions?
You know, if you're super genius, I guess you can get away with something. You'll find a way
around. The most responsible. He's the most responsible one in there. He has like no ulterior motives. He's just out here trying to help. He doesn't know anything yet.
Like, well, even later on, even when he's at the party, you know, and we'll get into it, but even later on, I mean, he's all, you know, everybody's just kind of wearing whatever and he's all nice buttoned up with his jacket. I mean, he's so out of place there.
Yeah.
It's poor guy. He just can't catch a break with his peers.
That's what the show is really about. It's secret. It's secret heartfelt message. The difficulty of being a super genius.
So, moral of the story, kids: don't grow up to be geniuses.
Too true.
You could avoid it for sure.
But I guess we might as well just jump into it. So it starts off where, you know, he's working in the ER, and the cop pretty much. He brings in this guy that is kind of acting crazy. There's no wallet, got a bump on his head or something. They think maybe he was mugged. And the dude, I think he says he's Darth Vader. Is that right? When he first starts off? Yeah.
Yeah. Because he goes into the whole, Luke, I'm your father.
I'm your father. Yeah.
Water.
Yeah. Yeah. He's super thirsty and he's like, get your father some water. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I can see like, in the 80s, because I was, let's see, when this came out, I was 9 years old. I could see this being like, you know, the funniest thing in the world to me, which is dumb. But, you know, I could really see that being like, yeah, Vader, you know, and just like being really into it. Now that I'm, you know, I'm 40 and I'm looking at it, it doesn't make any sense. But
well, the biggest question I had in this scene during his initial introduction was one of the first thing Doogie says is, let's get some fingerprints on this guy and see if we can track him down. And I'm like, can doctors do that? Do they order fingerprints? Like,
apparently.
No, they cannot, Chris.
Well, you must be mistaken because he clearly did. So I guess you can.
Right. In this world, at least.
Yeah.
If you're a 14-year-old super genius.
Yeah. If you're a 14-year-old super genius doctor, you can do pretty much whatever you want. But yeah, that was odd. He was like, track him down and whatever. Were you going to say something, John?
I suppose he was like he's a missing person. Oh, I said, I suppose he's a missing person. He can ask the police nicely because you have to have like permission to treat. So Makes sense. It adds up.
Except he was treating the cop like he was captain of the Enterprise and he's issuing orders to a red shirt. I need fingerprints and then tea. Earl Grey. Hot.
I like that you jumped straight to Picard and totally skipped over Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Picard's a much better captain, actually. But you didn't hear that from me. So. Sorry, Dad.
It's another conversation, right?
Yeah, that's a whole another podcast right there. But of course, because of a flu going around, they're short-staffed. And so some people are going to be forced to have to work on Christmas Eve. And I like how there's this one doctor that just like right out of the gate is like, no, I'm not doing that. And of course you get the obligatory, you know, wife joke where he's like, you know, you can fire me. My wife can kill me. You know, I'd rather be fired or something like that. It's again, it's like this weird line between drama and comedy that doesn't quite land for me. Even though I really enjoyed the episode, something about it was just, it was off and I just couldn't quite place it. But
yeah, it's certainly, I kind of had the same feeling where like, I think we were talking a little bit as we were prepping for this episode where like this was, I really enjoyed this episode. It's a good Christmas episode. Like there's a lot of Christmas in it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're just left, like it's a little thin, I think, just at the end of the day. Like you don't have quite the heightened drama that you would want from it or quite the full belly laughs from a sitcom. And so it kind of lands somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's very odd, but you're right. I did enjoy it too. Cause there was a lot of Christmas. I mean, later on there's tons of Santa suits. There's it's kind of annoying, but they're all Rudolphs later on. And
that's another thing we need to talk about later is everyone in the reindeer suits.
Yeah. And then they go do doctor stuff, you know, in their gear. Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot of Christmas. There's a whole subplot with his dad trying to get the Christmas lights to work. And I mean, I don't get it, but okay, whatever, you know.
I was getting big Clark Griswold vibes from that, from those scenes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Vacation had just come out because it came out in 89, didn't it? I think it did.
Oh, I'm not sure, but yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, again, there's just this whole subplot. And then that was a little more, I don't know, funny, but whatever. But yeah, so the dude like refuses to work. Doogie apparently has a big party, and we know this because Vinny shows up, and this is when we get that whole credit card bit where he's like, you have a credit card. This is like your concert tickets and all the CDs you want. And you can tell CDs are like a new thing because they keep saying CDs over and over again. You know, there's that other doctor that like got his mom an Ethel Merman CD or something.
It's like the height of luxury there is the idea of buying any CD you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, children, just wait until Napster comes around.
Oh, man, Napster was my jam in college, man.
You can download 10 songs and maybe get one you want.
for real, yeah. See, and the funny thing is when I was in college, I was really into like classic rock, like from the 70s and stuff like that. So I would try to find like these obscure songs from like Rainbow. And, you know, you couldn't find those on Napster. I mean, it was ridiculous. But there I was like looking through all the college servers and everything, just trying to get my weird random songs. But
trying to find that needle in the haystack.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, you know what? Napster worked. And then it didn't.
Thanks, Metallica.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Darn you, Metallica. Oh, man. So, yeah, Vinny gives us the whole exposition about the party and, you know, that everyone's going to be there and try to get out of work. You got to ditch it. And so Doogie decides to take him up on that. And so he gives Vinny his credit card to go buy a necklace, you know, for his girlfriend, which I thought was kind of crazy because, you know, he's making like a lot of money, so he can afford like a nice, like really awesome present. And I mean, she's probably working at like, you know, Gap or something. And
if that,
yeah.
I mean, they're 14. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
She's not making anything.
Yeah. So what exactly is she getting? You know, it's going to be something her parents pay for.
Right.
Tough spot to be. That's like for her parents, even, because it's like, what are we going to buy your doctor boyfriend?
How inferior do you think her dad feels?
Right? Wait, your boyfriend is a doctor? Maybe they got him a CD. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. It's can we backtrack for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we, and let's just talk briefly. Like, I want to bring up the point of trying to tell a 14-year-old they have to work on Christmas in this day and age. Good luck.
For real.
Like, if you're trying to get the parents in your face as fast as you can, then yeah, tell them that. But no way that applies these days.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in the 80s, but I mean, that's like typical in all of the 80s movies. There's all sorts of things that you can get away with that you can't now. But yeah. Ugh. I don't know, but his dad was also a doctor, so maybe, I mean, I'm pretty sure his doctor dad would understand.
Dr. Dad can replace your heart, but can't find a light strand that works. Dr. Dad. This fall on NBC.
Different time, Brian. It was a different time. Lights weren't set up on complete circuit.
John, did you do more historical digging into light technology at the time?
No, we go over this on our podcast like once a day, Brian. I'm from rural Wisconsin. Didn't have Christmas lights that weren't from the 60s. So I'm very used to the one bulb goes out, your whole house goes out.
Pretty much, yep. See, and that's funny because for a living, I actually sell Christmas lights.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's, you know, everything's LED now, and you'll have folks come in, and they're, like, wanting to replace an incandescent bulb, and we don't even do that anymore. So it's like, you know, as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, okay, incandescence. And sure enough, yep, everything just burns out, you know. So anyway, that's just a little tidbit here and there. But
so then you replace one incandescent bulb with an LED, and then there's just a super bright light on a strand of old incandescent.
You can. It probably honestly wouldn't take the voltage because they're all like super low voltage. But yeah, that'd be funny. Just that one light. You know, just put the ornament in front of it. But I felt his pain, you know, when like he got it all set up and he was like, you know, I spent $20 per strand and everything. And then just the one strand is only working and then that goes out. It's like, okay. I gotcha. I feel you. But anyway, so yeah, that was the dad's subplot, which I thought was kind of funny. And that's sort of resolved at the end.
Yeah, it seems to make it all work towards the end of that episode, right? They have a nice Christmas setup.
Yeah, for a few seconds.
For a few seconds, yeah.
I truly love the, like, this is a moment a man needs to be left alone as everyone just bails on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Doogie even says something like, it's past my bedtime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so Vinny goes to buy the necklace. Doogie decides he's going to get out of it. He's going to take his friend's suggestion. And so he puts himself under like a humidifier, you know, or something just to get himself all like clammy and sweaty. And then he pretends to faint when they're in line at the lunch counter.
Very convincing.
Yeah, exactly.
He really sold it.
Well, apparently, I mean, the doctors bought it, so, you know, and then plus with all the clamminess, I guess it worked. You know, there is a flu going around.
Yeah, he's pulled some real Ferris Bueller style shenanigans there to
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
get those. I was gonna ask. Yeah, what's Ferris Bueller's tips? He says don't fake a fever because that's how you end up in the doctor's office. You have to cough on your hands. I know it sounds childish, but so is high school.
Yep, that sounds about right. You know, he made it work. And I love, that nurse, what's her name? Nurse Spalding. I used to have like a huge crush on her back in the day. And nowadays I look back and it's like, well, okay, I guess. But back in, I mean, I thought she was like so pretty.
She's rocking some great 80s hair. That's
yes,
for
she
sure.
Was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like, she's absolutely.
Curly Spaulding is a tremendous name. The show, like, nails naming. Everyone's name is right.
Well, this was a David E. Kelly show. You know, so it was done by Botchko, but he gave it to David E. Kelly to actually write, you know, and this is like before he became like, you know, David E. Kelly. So yeah, it's kind of got that dialogue that you expect from him, but at the same time, it's kind of got the oddball, you know, things here and there, like Ally McBeal, you know, just the weird tips. And so, I mean, it's definitely David E. Kelly, but yeah, the names, I mean, these are like, I don't know, 1910 baseball names, you know, Curly Spaulding, Doogie Howser.
Crazy. They're snappy. They're snappy names.
Yeah, you'll do great, kid. You'll do great. Oh, man.
Just don't get hit with the ball, okay?
Yeah, step into one. But yeah, I remember I had a huge crush on her, but she's like, okay, she gives him takes his temperature. She's like, don't move. So she leaves the room, closes the curtain conveniently. And of course he has time to splash some water on his face and run in place to, you know, get his pulse up. And then he does that thing where he puts the thermometer there right by the light bulb. And again, The incandescent just, you know, heats it up. And so it's like 101. And so he successfully gets out of the job, which is nice for him, but poor old Doug, man, he can't catch a break. He gets just so guilty.
Yeah,
that's conscious, man.
Yeah. It was interesting. Again, like, you really see the limitations of this being a half hour sitcom, because He's like, he's out and he is immediately guilty, and then he is immediately back in the hospital, and it's like you barely have time for any impact of his decision making there.
Yeah, it does go by like super fast. And I mean, same thing. I remembered it being longer. I thought it was like an hour show, but no, it's not. And you're right. You really feel it here. It's just, it's so strange because it just cuts like so fast, you know? So all of a sudden it's like we're at the party. And of course we get the classic, like, and I don't know if this is just a trope from like this era or what, but you know, the dude with like the mistletoe trying to get kisses from girls. I mean, that's, you know, you see that like all over the place. I think Screech does it in Saved by the Bell. I mean, it's just, it's one of those tropes that like you see in all these Christmas specials. And I mean, it's definitely overused, but Vinny just kind of is creepy about it.
I did not enjoy that. Not a fan.
No, John, no one did.
No, no. I think he even says to like some girl, hey, you know, why don't you sit on my lap and tell me what you want, or tell me if you've been naughty or nice. So bad. Oh, man. And so of course,
they needed to show Vinny getting like slapped across the face to display to everybody that is not okay behavior.
Well, I think he gets kicked in the butt or something is what they try to show, because he's like, sit on my lap and tell me if you've been naughty or nice. Oh, because like he's,
oh, no, she dumped a drink on him.
Yeah, she spills a drink on him. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He's the teenage dice man, so he has to make those noises.
Hey, yo!
Hey! Speaking of which, whatever happened to that guy? Is he still around?
Hickory Dickory Dock.
I think, isn't he like doing drama stuff? He was in, what was he in? Star Is Born. He was Lady Gaga's dad in that, wasn't he?
What? Was he really?
I think so. I'm pretty sure that like he does like more toned down like drama stuff now in smaller roles.
Man, that
hold on for a second.
Yeah. He's having a better career than Doogie. Good for him.
I don't know. That's arguable because Neil Patrick never fell out of the he never fell with his reputation. Like, there was certainly a dip in his career where he wasn't in anything, mm-hmm. you know, but like nobody thought like, wow, Doogie Howser was a real a-hole, you know?
that's a good point. True, yeah. He kept his nose a lot cleaner,
did.
Counts for a lot. So
I do think it's funny how, you know, they keep making references to him doing like 30 hour shifts. And, you know, how he's like super tired. But I mean, if I had just done a 30 hour shift, I don't care like how hot my girlfriend was. I think I'd be like just sleeping, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any party in the world that could bring me out after 30 hours of work.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I do 8 hours of work and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to just be home. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, but he's at the party and, you know, he's talking with his girlfriend, Wanda, who I was also kind of into back in the day. And she had that crazy 80s bangs that, you know, all the girls had. I remember growing up with. But yeah, so it's like, she's like, are you mad at me? Is something wrong? You've just been here. And it's like, no, he was just working for 30 hours. The dude is tired. Like, leave him alone, you know?
I think I would have enjoyed the clip of the party more if they showed like Doogie sleeping in the corner.
Yeah, for real.
Just, like, I got to get to my party and then just conked out.
See, Brian, I think you just discovered your new call and you can go punch up sitcom scripts from 30 years ago. Yep. There's a market for that, right?
There's a market for that. There's a market for everything if Twitter's taught us anything.
You can make a fan made remake of Doogie Howser, like a dark, gritty one.
We can do reshoots, right?
Right. I'll get a buddy out here and him and I will play all the roles and it'll be like that episode of Community where Troy and Abed recreate Kick Puncher.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I love Community. They got some great Christmas specials.
Yeah, that's we're actually recording one of them. That's our next episode we're going to record is one of those. So
nice.
Stay tuned in season two.
Right on. Six
seasons and a movie.
I'm still waiting for that and a movie, man. I want that to come as fast as possible.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
I mean, I know they're all down for it, but you know, whatever. So yeah, Doogie, he and his girlfriend get into it a little bit and then Vinny comes up and he's like, hey, you know, I got your present. And then, you know, he kind of leaves, or I don't even know exactly the sequence of events here, but I know that the girlfriend was like, yeah, he's hyper. He's had, you know, too much sugar or something. And then Doogie's like, that's it. You know? And
oh yeah.
Like all of a sudden he knows what's wrong. And so he's like, I gotta go. And it's the adult thing to do. Well, who cares? You're 14. No one cares about the adult thing to do, you know? I mean, I didn't when I was 14.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting too. I mean, you get kind of that almost Dr. House type moment where someone you know, says something in passing and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. But like he comes back to the hospital and, you know, they made this whole big deal about, oh, they're overwhelmed. And it's like he comes back, it seems okay. Like everyone seems to be handling it fine, whether he was there or not.
Well, there's even time to do the whole Santa present giveaway thing later on.
Right.
It seems like if you were short-staffed, you might want to not do that. Hey, they're okay. They can wait.
Kind of going back to what Chris was talking about too, with how something just felt off. I think it's the pacing of the medical drama aspect of it. You know, if we were to piece this show together between three shows that we know, which are Scrubs, ER, and now House, because he's the medical genius and whatnot. Mm-hmm. ER really nailed it to pacing with when to introduce medical emergencies and when everybody had to be on with their jargon and all that jazz. And this just kind of seems like the jump scare waiting to happen off screen at any moment, you know? And you're just kind of always waiting for it because you know it should be there. But at the same time, like when you're like, okay, well, you know, they're going to the party. There's no way we have a medical emergency right now. Well, like, what the hell?
And I think you're right. I think it has to do with the half hour, you know, time slot. I mean, I think if it was a full hour, you know, they would have been able to flesh out everything, but they kind of just cram it all as fast as they can. And it something is just unnatural about it. Although, yeah, I still enjoy the episode for some reason, which is weird. But yeah, the pacing was kind of off and I don't know. It just, I think even the chemistry for me in between some of them was kind of off, especially the Doogie and the doctors. But I guess that kind of makes sense if he's 14 and they're supposed to be, you know, however old. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where it's like everything happens really quick. And yet somehow this episode still seems to like lack a sense of urgency. Like everything happens very lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Oh, well, so he realizes there's something, you know, what's wrong with that, that dude that the cop brought in. But this whole time they couldn't find that dude. I forgot to mention, that he kind of escapes, I guess, or somehow just gets up and walks out and no one can find him. And he's like, pretends to be like an orderly or a nurse or something. And then he pretends to be a Santa Claus, which I thought was a funny bit as well. Cause he talks to, you know, Curly Spalding. Yep. And, and he's like, what do you want for Christmas? And of course, when a man dressed as Santa Claus asks you what you want for Christmas, you immediately tell him what you look for in a man.
That is one of the laws in the Constitution. Yes.
So well, she's like, what we all do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, that's second nature. And so she tells him that, you know, he's got to be a skier and he's got to like Szechuan food and whatever, whatever. And so he takes it all in. And later on, he comes back as Mel Gibson. Because she says he's got to look like Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
He doesn't have to look like Mel Gibson, but it would be nice. And so he comes in and he's playing this other part and he's like, oh, you know, my name's Mel Gibson. Oh, no relation or something. You know, just a coincidence.
Well, I like that he was even playing up the Mel Gibson Australian accent too. Like Mel Gibson, he's an Australian actor. He has like, he doesn't really have that accent anymore because he's like done American films, but
right,
this guy, I love that little detail of it, that this guy even put that little Australian inflection on what he was saying when talking to her.
and he really goes to town with, he's like, yeah, I'm here with my sister, or I'm waiting for my sister, she broke her leg in a skiing accident. And he's like, yeah, I used to teach skiing, and you know, everything that she like loved. And and you can just see her visibly like, you know, kind of perk up and
yeah, you know, pretty strong game for a guy with a, you know, disorder.
Yeah, for real. I mean, he's got moves, man, and he used them, and she was like all into it. And of course, then he passes out, and this is after Doogie like has come in. He's like, where's that guy? You know, I think if my diagnosis is correct, he could pass out or something like that. So what does he do? Of course he passes out. And, anyway, they take him to a room, they get him all checked out and shoot him with the glucose or whatever it is, and they got to check his insulins and blah, 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 medical jargon. And he's like, my name is Paul Newman. And they're like, oh, whatever. like, no, really, my name's Paul Newman, and I own like a furniture store or something. But I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to see that come around again.
Yeah. So yeah, his diagnosis was correct. Turns out he has like some sort of tumor on his pancreas, blah blah blah. And he's like, yeah, it's great. But I like the little detail how he's like, I gotta call my wife, she thinks I'm in, you know, whatever city, Chicago or something. And the Curly was like, wife?
Yeah, does this mean our date's off?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Curly, yes. Stop being so shameless.
Yeah, for real, yeah.
There's so many Mel Gibson.
Girl's thirsty, please. Man. She's thirsty. Yeah.
The thing that drove me maybe the most insane about this episode was the way they said Szechuan. Like, just so aggressively, like, do you know where I could get some Szechuan food?
Like, some Szechuan?
Come on, guys, just you don't have to be that specific here.
Yeah, just say Chinese food, man. Everybody will know.
And they just like switch the accent to say Szechuan. It's like, come on. We just like, they had just all seen Iron Chef for the first time.
That reminds me of a Saturday Night Live sketch where I think Jimmy Smith was the host. And so he's like working in an office and, you know, he introduces himself and they know that he's Hispanic. And so they're like overemphasizing all the Spanish words.
I think I've seen that
like,
one.
No, guys, it's okay. You don't have to do that. And, you know, I mean, every single thing is like un burrito. And I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I got that vibe too. And, but it's so funny. I mean, she was just like so desperate that she was like, yeah, yeah, let's, you know, I need a date for New Year's. And of course he's like, what about New Year's? What about?
Well, I love that other small detail that he's from Chicago. And I'm like, that's a whole other story you've just blown open here. Cause it's like, he said he's been acting this way 10 days. So has he been missing from Chicago for 10 days? They found him in LAX. Was he supposed to be there? Did he take a flight and end up there? What, like, what's this guy's backstory? Just left with so many unanswered questions.
I like to imagine the actor like coming up with a whole like Bible's worth of backstory for himself that, you know, is useless.
That guy did a great job. I don't know who that actor was, but so I could see him doing it because he really sold the role.
He went full method on it, you know, worked in a furniture store for a while.
Yeah. He met with Ethel Merman and got some singing lessons. And how would you sing this song?
Get a better voice than NPH, man. Better voice than NPH.
For real. And I actually remember him from Police Academy. I mean, I think it's the same guy. I remember him from Police Academy 5. I think he's one of the yeah, one of the criminals that the goons from you know, Florida, when they're in Florida, and he's part of the gang with the dude from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. What's his name? Rene Auberjonois. Anyway, that's how I recognized him. And so, yeah.
Deep pulls. You got all the knowledge.
That is a cut. That is a good work. It's a 10 out of 10.
I would say it's totally rad. But, but anyway.
I get it now.
So that there was that whole deal. And so it kind of gets resolved. And then he ends up talking with him. And he's like, this is the best news, best Christmas I've ever had. I thought I was going crazy for 10 days. And, you know, now you're telling me I can make it. And, you know, Doogie's like, yeah. What a guy. Okay. Kind of a thing. And I mean, he has this odd look on his face that I don't know what the direction was, but it seemed like very inconsequential to him. Just kind of, okay. You know, like who cares?
Yeah.
I'm over it. I got to go dress up as Rudolph now.
Well, you know, regardless, I still felt that was a tender moment where it was like, oh man, this guy is so relieved that his reality is not just unraveling in front of him without anything he can do about it. And to be told that, no, you can fix this is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. And I mean, it's good. You know, if House were to do it, it would have been full of venom and vitriol and he would have browbeaten the guy into agreeing to anything, you know, but yeah, Doogie being 14 is just kind of like, yeah, that's great, mister.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, exactly. I kept expecting him to say something like that. But yeah, so then we get to that whole bit where the head doctor is, he's dressed as Santa, and of course he has to glue the beard to him because there's always some punk kid that tries to pull it off. And Doogie and the other doctor and the nurse, they're all dressed up as Rudolph. But yeah, they're all dressed up and they all have the red nose, and that like annoyed the heck out of me. I don't know why. It seems something so dumb, but for some reason I had a lot of hate for that moment.
Well, the part that weirded me out, and you know, we talked about Vinny earlier at the party being a little bit of a skeez, but to cut from the patient to this massage train that was happening with Doogie and the doctor and the nurse. And I'm just like, is this appropriate? Is this allowed? Like in any, even if they were all the same age, is this stuff we're doing in the workplace? Is this okay?
Well, and
different time, Chris.
What's worse is that they're all like, oh,
yeah. A lot of groaning and moaning.
Yeah.
It started on Curly too. Went very Harry Met Sally for a second there, and it's like,
yeah, sure did. Yeah. Yeah, then he even goes like, my turn. And so then they switch places. Yeah, I don't know about giving a massage to a 14-year-old boy. Yeah, maybe not, but
I think it's okay to take a hard stance right now and say no.
Yeah, I agree. I'm down with that. Yeah,
I think we can be on the right side of history for that one.
I think we can. Yeah, yeah. So they give out the presents, or no. Well, before they do that, they even they sing a 12 Days of Christmas, but a dumb medical version of it. And I can just see like David E. Kelly like writing this out, because he writes everything out like longhand on like yellow legal pads, and I can just see him writing it out, being like, ha, "This is gonna kill him."
it's such a weird trope of like sitcoms and movies, even sometimes, is these like tortured parody versions of 12 Days of Christmas. And it's just like, first of all, that song is way too long to begin with. We don't need your, you know, silly version that isn't that funny to begin with.
Yeah. An asthmatic in the ER or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. But then all of a sudden, 4-car pileup. And so again, another medical emergency at the end, which was strange. And I think the only reason was so that you can get the little boy there to see Santa. I mean, that seemed like the only reason to do that whole bit, because everything was wrapping up, you know? And so, yeah, there's a little boy with like, I think a collapsed lung or something, maybe some broken ribs. And so they have to puncture it and do all the medical stuff. And the little boy looks up and he's like, Santa? You know, my sister says you're not real. And he's like, I am indeed, or whatever. And
this is going to feel real.
Yeah, just focus on my voice because I'm about to stab you really hard with this instrument.
That part was so cold where they're like, well, we need to give him some kind of like sedative. And he's like, nah, jam.
Yeah. There's no time.
Little dude did great with it. Didn't even like yell. Just accepted it.
Well, man, Santa was there. I mean, what are you going to do? You...
If Santa wants to stab you, what are you going to do?
You say yes.
We all know showing pain gets you on the naughty list.
I think that's also law. Yeah.
I wish I remembered like what word he called his little sister for saying Santa wasn't real.
I think it was like a dip or something like
that. Yes. And that ruled. I was like, that is so of its time. It's perfect.
We got to bring that back. Yeah, oh, man, don't be a dip. Yeah. Oh, man. And so they save the kid. And but I do think it's funny how, you know, there's no time for anything. So they can't even like change out of their costumes and, you know, they can't sterilize themselves or, you know, wash their hands or nothing. They just got to go straight into saving their lives in this big, probably filthy Santa costume. I mean, the beard was not quite white anymore.
No, it was not.
it was definitely an off-white. So I don't know if that's the cleanest thing to be wearing while you're, you know, doing an emergency surgery on someone.
And nothing, well, he's nothing already the credibility of your 14-year-old doctor, like, wearing a deer suit.
Yeah. So. Who's this candy
and striker? Santa's already wearing red, so really.
Oh.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
Good point. That's a good point, though.
I mean, he could also use lemon juice, I guess.
That's true. Club soda, it gets it out. But yeah, so then we finally get the big wrap up. We mentioned, of course, the dad and the family and the Christmas tree. He's like, I spent $180 on lights. He turns it on for a few seconds, it works, and they're toasting, and then turns off. And of course, we get the, as you mentioned earlier, John, about the, you know, this is a time like this, a man needs to be alone or something like that. And so they all kind of just ditch the dad. But while Doogie goes upstairs, he's visited by his girlfriend, Wanda. And of course, you know, she's like, hey, I understand why you left. And she's like the coolest girl ever, instead of being like a typical high school girl and being like,
oh my God,
I made out with, you know, Todd over there or something.
I'm the only one without a date, Diggy. I'm 14. I've got options, Diggy.
It's kind of one of the wildest things about this episode is that he just faces no consequences for anything. And I think, again, it's kind of part of the reason why the episode doesn't work that well is there's no consequence. Like, he ditches work, he goes back, everyone's like, oh, great to have you back. He leaves the party, he meets up with his girlfriend. Oh, it's fine. Like,
yeah, and they thought he had the flu. I mean, he faked the flu. So like, what are you doing back? And he's like, oh, just something I ate. Like, no, that's not how it works, man. You should know, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You're going to cause a medical emergency, Doogie. Calm down.
You can't just go back to work, Doogie.
For real. But then what's even creepier is Vinny comes in while they're kissing, and he just kind of stares at him while they're kissing. He's like, oh, y'all are so cute when you're kissing or something like that.
Beautiful. You're my favorite couple ever. Okay, I'm saving that, actually.
Says maybe, I don't know if anyone's using it, so I'm not gonna sell it out, but like says maybe his creepiest line of the episode, too.
Yeah.
Like right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because then he says something that she kisses with her eyes open, and then that's really sexy.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it's like...
I was like, what? Like, first of all, that's like your best friend's girlfriend. Like, calm down, guy. And secondly, I mean, you don't go saying that. Yeah, and I don't know about Vinny, man. There's something off with him.
Vinny didn't make it to 2020. Okay, you know.
Probably not.
The 21 years haven't been kind.
No, you know he's in jail somewhere.
Oh God, Vinny again! I can't keep posting your bail. Hey, it's gonna be okay. All right,
Doug. I swear this time
you got a credit card, Doug.
Just put it on your card. Oh man. So, and then of course everybody leaves and he types on his computer the classic ending, and that's it, that's the show. So I mean, there was a lot of Christmas in it, you're right, and I for some reason, even though it's weirdly paced, even though it's there's like you said no consequences, I really enjoyed this episode. It's strange. I shouldn't have liked it, but I actually liked it.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to expect. Again, I think I've seen like the pilot of Doogie Howser and maybe one or two other episodes. And so I wasn't really sure what to expect. And just, you know, having watched a lot of Christmas TV, this is definitely on the better side of things. It's got a good amount of Christmas. It's aged relatively well outside some of the Vinny stuff we've talked about. And it's... You know, it's not the most memorable episode, but it's a nice little episode with some good holiday feels to it.
Yeah, I got you.
It's super fun and charming. I had a really good time watching it. I don't think I've seen anything about Doogie Howser other than I knew the plot was, like I said, I thought it was just like a fun little happy sitcom. And it was great. It's heartwarming. It's what you want from like a Christmas episode of this time.
Yeah, I hear you. So I have to ask, and I know you guys don't really have a history with it. So instead, we'll do something else a little bit different. So, you know, normally I ask you what's your happiest memory of this, but since there's no memory, what's your favorite spot of this, your favorite portion or, you know, bit of this whole special here?
Well, I already talked about the Mel Gibson Australian accent bit, which I really liked, but the other bit that I liked was going back to talking about names. I think one of the girls Vinny is pursuing, I really enjoyed her name, which was Susie Berluti, was I think one of the girls' names. And it's just,
well, that's
like
just lazy writing.
Tutti Frutti Susie Berluti. Like, what else have we got? Let's come up with more names.
Brandy Banana, Susie Batuti, Candy Carly, or Carly Candy, I forget. One of them is a sister.
I kind of liked the other like resident doctor was like, who would steal my Ethel Mermaid? Yeah. They had him like singing it, and then you get some real good 80s faces there.
Oh, that doctor also like going off about how his brother, if his brother the delinquent had more presence than him under the tree.
Felt personally attacked by that one.
Do you know?
Yeah. They hit a little too close to home.
I think we should end Christmas for Bryans universally. No presents for Bryans.
Cancel Bryans.
They're all delinquents.
John, I don't appreciate this take on cancel culture.
I don't appreciate delinquents.
Touché.
Oh man, no, that was a funny bit because I mean the dude's a doctor, right? So it's like you can buy whatever you want, man. I mean, who cares what how many presents you've got.
Yep.
I think for me the part I enjoyed most was probably that whole bit. I think I have to agree, that whole bit with the Santa where, you know, he comes back and then he's you know, he's like, no, my name is Mel Gibson. And, you know, he's like wooing the nurse and she's like all into it. I think that's the part I enjoyed the most, which is strange because it was also creepy. But still, it was funny, I guess. I don't
know. Curly's too hopeful. She's too innocent. She's just okay with it. It's like, I just said all of these things, but some guy looked vaguely like
you. Yeah. Some guy looking exactly like you playing Santa.
She wanted to believe in that Christmas magic, you know? It's, who can blame her?
There you go. But now we come to my favorite part of the episode, which is a little bit I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the episode. So it could be, you know, a piece of dialogue you didn't like, or, you know, something you thought was kind of clunky in a scene or whatever. And then we let the listeners vote. And the winner gets a totally rad Christmas sticker, unless I win, in which case I get nothing. But so far, I have never won. So I think you guys are pretty safe. So as the guests, I'll let you all go first, just kind of set up the scene.
Okay, boys, you going to make me do this first?
You are podcast dad and the fearless leader.
Okay. Yeah, podcast dad leads the way.
All right, so I will go with, and an asthmatic in the ER. Because, as I mentioned, I hate tortured 12 Days of Christmas parodies, and this was up there among the worst.
Well done, well done. Yep.
A lot of commitment.
Hey, I want that sticker, man.
He wants the sticker, man. Stickers. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with our boy Vinny, and I got, hey, I'm going to kiss for Santa Claus. I got a mistletoe here.
That was a good Vinny.
I'm really good at having that New Jersey area of Los Angeles accent.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I've been to Little New Jersey in Los Angeles.
All right, I'm gonna get right up on the mic for this one. How, can you guys, is this okay?
Yeah.
Intimate.
All right. I am also going to be playing the role of Vinny for this segment and go, hey, you know, you're a real beautiful couple when you're kissing. And scene.
No. Oh. That's such a terrible line. Oh, man. So I also picked Vinny. Because, you know, Vinny. But it was earlier on, and when he's like talking about the credit card and how Doogie's got to ditch the part, you know, ditch work to go to the party. And he goes, Samantha knows guys who knows guys in the music industry. There's going to be roadies at this party.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was
pretty awful.
I was like, was that another like side, ongoing plot of this show where, like, even though he's a doctor, like, they're still trying to make it as a rock band or something? I
don't know. Man, Vinny was just trying to pull an Almost Famous before its time.
Roadies. It's just so funny that, like, that's his idea of, like, awesome. It's the roadies, you know? Oh, man. But, you know, Vinny. Hey, Vinny's gonna Vinny.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Vinny.
Oh, man. But I do have to ask. So the G.I. Joes, they taught us that, you know, knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
All right. I'll start again. I said maybe not the funniest thing, but I'd say having a conscience seems to be the other half of the battle, which is if you can go back and help out your coworkers after ditching them. You know, having that conscience will get you there.
Right on.
I went with knowing is half the battle, and the other half is reciprocating feelings, because Doogie's girlfriend lets him know how she feels about him, and he gives her the old Han Solo. So. Just probably not the nicest thing to do on Christmas. To each their own.
Unless you're a Star Wars fan and your girl is too, I guess.
Yeah, maybe she... He didn't even give her the "I know." He just, like, stared her down. Like, I guess I'll crawl back out the window. That would be best.
If knowing is half the battle, then the other half is the application of that knowledge, which Doogie Howser demonstrated by using his whole medical education background to fake illness. And for that, he gets a golf clap.
Nice. Those are all better than mine. Mine is, if knowing is half the battle, then the other half is that if you want to date a hot nurse, have a problem with your sugar levels.
That one's pretty good. I'm willing to admit.
Yeah, that's strong. That's really good.
Clearly been doing this longer than we have.
Well, maybe just this part.
This part, yeah.
But now we're going to ditch the ER for a Christmas party, and we are going to go chat with the Littles. Welcome back to another segment of Chatting with the Littles. I'm here with Little Number One.
Hello.
And we're talking about Doogie Howser. Would you want to be a doctor?
No, I want to be a biologist.
You wouldn't want to be a doctor when you're 14 years old?
No.
Why not?
Because I want to be a biologist.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you want to be a biologist?
Because I like animals.
Oh, so why not a vet?
They're mostly for housekeeping animals.
And you want to do all animals, like whales and zebras and all that?
Mostly giraffes, but yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And in the meantime, I'm going to say let's get back to our regularly scheduled program. Guys, it's been fun talking with you. It really has. So what do you want to plug? Tell us about your show.
Yeah, you bet. So we're the Yuletide TV podcast. We watch and review Christmas episodes, much like this one. We have 20 episodes from our first season, which we did last year. And right now we're prepping for our second season. We're changing things up a little bit. Last year we kind of had a big long list that we randomly selected episodes from. This year we're going to have themed weeks that we're each going to pick an episode for. So for nice. Example, our first week is going to be sitcoms. So, and then each, we're going to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we're each going to host a different episode each day. So, it's going to be a little more personal, hopefully a little more fun, and we'll have a few more, winners than losers, than we had last year. So, yeah, we're on, YuletideTV.com and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Nice. Social media, anything like that as well?
Twitter and Instagram at Yuletide TV. You can also email us if you have a Christmas episode you want us to review, YuletideTV@gmail.com.
Cool. Yeah. Speaking of community. I've got to say thanks again for coming on. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and thanks for having us. We had a blast.
It was totally rad.
<Ba-dum-psh>. And on that note, I'll end it by saying getting is good, giving is better. Once you understand that, it's always Christmas. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like an ER doctor getting his girlfriend an expensive necklace, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. And don't forget to vote. Later, dudes. What did you want to say?
Challenge time.
Challenge time? What's the challenge?
The challenge for today is to make a doctor's stethoscope and a little peppermint thing at the bottom that checks the heartbeat.
That's super cute. All right, so you heard it here, folks. She's challenging you to create your own stethoscope with a peppermint theme.
Later, dudes.